getting closer and closer to the big summer races, including Tarawera and Old Ghost Ultra. If you need an awesome pack for your next big or small adventure, look no further than Ultra Spire. Bryce Thatcher has been making the very best in hydration vests for 41 years, and they just keep getting better. Head to www.ultraspire.nz for more.
Hey, if you are not a Wild Things VIP yet, you're missing out. Recently, I was away, and as a VIP member, I was able to jump on to the Trails and Peak directory, look it up, and wham, bam, boom, found myself some sweet trails that I wasn't aware of, was able to download the GPX and just get amongst it. So that's just one of the benefits of being a VIP. The other is that if you use the code DCR2023, you get an epic new VIP member $20 credit to drop in the Wild Things shop, which is also on top of the VIP discounts that you get. Why wouldn't you do it?
From listening to other episodes of Dirt Church Radio, you know that I've been using Currens for ages. Now, Eugene's on the purple bus. I mean, with Eugene joining the stable, including Dan Jones, Ruth Croft, every other person, David Houndschmidt, Sam Harvey, me and Eugene, obviously, you know, bringing in the everyman quotient. It's just dominance, really. Just dominance going forward for the Currens team. But I love them. They're helpful. Intake of fruit and antioxidants and all that good stuff. Head to www.currens.co.nz to read up on the science. You'll get 20% off with your first order of Currens 30s with the code DIRTCHURCH. That's www.currens.co.nz. Further faster. The best independently owned outdoor store in the known universe. Whether you're heading out on climbing, paddling, tramping, or running adventures, look no further than Further Faster for all your gear and expertise needs over the summer. Head to 57A Buchan Street, Sydenham, Otutahi, Christchurch, or hit them up at furtherfaster.co.nz.
Further faster there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go to Further Faster now.
Oh, Further Faster there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules
Episode 262 of Dirt Church Radio. I'm Matt Raymond.
I am Eugene Bingham. Tēnā koutou katoa. We have made it.
We have made it, and it's nice to see you, bro. And I hope for the listeners out there that you enjoyed the little bonus taster of our new Aid Station podcast.
Yeah, so we thought we'd drop that in the DCR feed last week. We see that a bunch of you, or at the weekend, we see that a bunch of you had a listen. So if you enjoyed, feel free to pop along to the old newsletter and subscriber content only podcast and sign up. And then you'll get it in your inbox and in your ears in the weeks between. So, yeah, but if you're not, that's cool. You still get DCR. Everything stays the same.
Yeah.
How have you been?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm just, I seem to be putting one step forward, maybe two step back, one step forward, two steps back. So, resting up this weekend, you know, it's not time to panic at the moment, but I think it's just maybe, and you know, putting aside, I'm not going to keep talking about COVID or anything, but just putting aside the, that's just been a long road back. I read a post by Anton Kropitschka, actually, who he talked about when he came back from Italy, he had COVID over the summer and it took him down for 10 days. Mm. And then he said for the rest of the summer, he just had no motivation and wasn't back up to full stoke for ages. So maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just a tired old man, but, you know, we're getting there.
It's been interesting too. Dan Jones, you know, has also had COVID.
Five-time Kepler finisher like me, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Your peer. And he has been writing about actually the recovery that's required and being careful about it. I think that's one of the things, isn't it? You don't want to rush back. You know, it's how many years on? 3 years on? 4 years on? We can get a bit blasé about COVID, but it's still, you know, to knock you around, as you well know. Mm.
And you, bro, how are you?
Yeah, well, talking about knocking yourself around, I was down in Wellington last week and I was there on Tuesday and I thought, Tuesday night, is that the Worm Night Wellington Run meetup? And of course, it turns out they have them on three nights now. That's how up to date I am, plus the weekend. So I dropped a line to Brad Houghton actually from Trail Running NZ and said, hey, when's the worm? Can you sort this out for me? And he, like the good sort that he was, found everything, found out all the details for me, and actually caught up with him there as well, which was cool. Went for a run, and it was epic. There was about 60 people there. It was huge. And four pace groups, really social, such good fun. We had Neil leading our group, who was a good dude. And a whole bunch of dudes and dudettes in amongst it. Whole heap of them went for a swim afterwards, which was braver than me. It's still Wellington. Anyway, love you, Wellington. I did live there. And but on the way back down the hill, I twisted my ankle, not badly, but just sort of like, noticed it afterwards. We went to the pub afterwards and, you know, caught up and socialized. And then walking home, I was like, that's just a bit niggly. So it was sore in the morning when I got up. And of course, being a cautious, careful runner, I went for a run.
This is the way.
This is the way. And then the next day I went for a run. Yeah, I'm stupid.
No, this is the way.
But it wasn't getting better. So I rested it on Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, I rode my bike instead of going for a run. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm booked in to go and see someone about it. It's not a bad run. And I was just saying to Matt off mic, saying to you, Matt, off mic, if I wasn't running Old Ghost in less than a month, I wouldn't really be worried about it.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't want to mess it up.
Now, yeah, when you've got more at stake, it's harder, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So it should be all good, but, you know, ankles crossed.
Ankles crossed. This week, what is becoming somewhat of a tradition on Dirt Church Radio, we're joined by Kerry Suter and Ali Pottinger for the great Tarawera Ultra Trail 2024 preview. Thousands of trail runners are, in the next few weeks, going to be descending on the trails of Rotorua and for Tarawera Ultra Trail, and we have a catch-up with these two legends. They're the brains and the brawn behind Squadron Coaching, and Kerry, of course, two-time winner at Tarawera, including the inaugural year.
So we talk all about the elites as well as the course changes and how you can best get yourself around the trails and have an awesome day. So there's something there for everyone. A couple of updates. One, we talked about Sage Cannaday coming. At the time, he was on the list for the 100 miles, so we talk about him in the context of that. But he's since switched to the 102.
We also talked about Robin Leach doing the 102, but that's just my slapdash approach to preparation. She's doing the 50K, so sorry to promote you up to the...
Maybe, with your encouragement.
I believe in you, Robin. Yeah. But also, we talk about... Mr. Suter, he will be missing the race for the first time in its 15-year history because he's having surgery to help get some movement back in his arms post his accident. You'll hear about this, and you know he's had the surgery at time of you're listening to this, and we just want him to know that we're thinking of him and we will be carrying him with us this year, as I'm sure many of you will be too. And for those who don't know, I mean, Kerry had a serious life-changing mountain bike accident coming up a couple of years ago, leaving him with a broken spine. So yeah, just heal well, bro, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Greatest run ever.
Greatest run ever, which is the part of the show where we ask you to write into us and tell us your greatest run ever. Doesn't have to be a race or a mountain summit, might just be a run around the block, something that sung to you for some reason. Send them in to us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. And this is from Rob. While I consider myself a trail runner, I'm afraid that when I stop and think about my greatest run ever, I'm a fake, a fraud, and a phony. It's not a race or a mountain summit. It's not even a run around the block. It's not even outdoors. My greatest run ever was on a treadmill. To set the scene, several years ago as an obese person, I decided to take up running. I knew nothing about it at all, so naturally I went out and immediately bought a treadmill and put it directly in my living room. I was mocked by my family and friends and told that it would be used just for hanging laundry upon. But after a few days, I gave it a shot. I made it 160 meters, and even that was difficult. Over the course of a few weeks, I managed to get up to about a 1 kilometre here and there sporadically. I decided to embark on a couch to 5K plan, but after several misstarts and setbacks, I eventually got my first ever 5K done. It felt magical. The day of my greatest run, I was attempting a similar 5K on the treadmill. I'd only managed the 5K to that point a couple of times, and as the distance approached, I was utterly knackered. I didn't own a running watch back then, but I can tell you from the experience now that I was running everything at the utter red line, 100% max heart rate. As an obese person, that wasn't fast time-wise. However, something happened at that moment. I felt a desire deep down that I didn't want to go on being this way physically, and that the process I was currently doing could fix that situation in a very direct way. A red mist seemingly descended. I paused the treadmill for a brief moment, went into the kitchen to grab whatever I could. I didn't know what I needed exactly, but I knew people who usually ran ate stuff, so I came back with a variety of snack bars and bottles of water and pressed onwards into the unknown distance-wise. The rest of the run was a blur. I barely remember any of it, but I can say that I ran harder that day than at any other time since. I somehow got to 15K and I remember thinking, I'm going for the half marathon right here, right now, even if it kills me, and I meant it. An absurd goal that morning, to be sure, but at that moment, it seemed possible somehow. My wife returned home to find me laying on the floor. The room covered in empty wrappers and drink bottles. I'd managed it, and God, it felt so good, but I was utterly spent. That run, 8 years or so ago, was the exact moment that began a fairly massive weight loss and sparked a love for running. I'm now happy to say that I'm firmly an outside runner, and I look forward to doing the Tarawera Miler this year, but I think back fondly knowing that it all started with that run. That's my greatest run ever. P.S. We still have the treadmill. It's mostly used for hanging laundry now.
Rob, Kamo to we're here. That is amazing. Amazing. Thank you so, so much for sending that in. And Tarawera Miler,
yeah.
Watch out. And holy heck.
Please don't misinterpret my laughing there as a laugh of sort of contempt or sympathy. That was a true laugh of triumph, and also that's an amazingly well written piece. You know,
yeah.
Just the image of the missus coming in and he's like on the ground.
Yeah, it all begins somewhere, doesn't it?
100%.
For all of us, and you know, we've all been in places where it's dark, and we decide to kick on and press on, and you've done it, and far out.
Yep.
I can't wait to see you at the Miler. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much, Rob. And I'm sure you will have many people nodding their heads in agreement with you. And you are by no means a phony, a fraud, or a fake. You are the real deal, Rob. Thank you. The rest of you, keep sending them in, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. Again, Matt, we continue to say this 5 years on. We are always astonished at our greatest runs ever and the way that people interpret them and just continue to surprise us. So
never a dull moment.
Yeah. Right, on with our chat with Kerry Pottinger. Kerry Suter and Alec
Pottinger.
It is
pretty much Kerry Pottinger, yeah. Isn't it?
And our great Tarawera preview.
Dirtchurch Radio.
So before, Kerry, when you said that you wouldn't stand for something, you haven't. Am I?
Yeah.
Is that just your way of making it cool, or am I a bad person that I thought that was kind of funny?
Do you remember back in the 90s you were talking about getting legless? Finally nailed it.
There we go. I did it. I did it.
I'll take some wheelchair.
Kerry and Ali. Kerry Suter, Ali Pottinger, welcome to Dirtchurch Radio. Again, returning champions, legends, commentators, our friends. How the bloody hell are you?
Man, we love hanging out with you guys. Can we just like, podcast or not, just like let's just get together once a month and just chew the fat, because it's so good to see you guys. We're 5 minutes into a discussion before that intro and our cheeks are sore from smiling and laughing, so... And I think the heart needs
it. Does. It does.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Man, such a nice. How are you guys? Are you well?
Bloody hot.
Yeah.
Humid as anything.
Yep.
But we're good. We're excited about Tarawera and Old Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Two weekends in a row.
Yeah. Big for you.
It's going to be exciting. Big. It's going to be exciting. Yeah.
So it brings up speed, Eugene. Yeah. You're going to be there at Tarawera year 15, rocking the mic, hanging around, doing the usual.
Yeah.
And a week later, down to the West Coast for over a lump and 85K.
That's right. That's right, to finally get Ruth Croft off our back of badgering us about the fact we haven't run it. We are going to be, we're on the start line.
We are.
So, yeah.
Matt, you're running
looking
as well.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, I am. Oh, exciting. Yes, it is exciting. I feel a bit, I do feel a bit terrified about the whole thing. Come back from COVID Coming back from COVID hasn't been the best. So that's playing on my mind. Everyone goes, oh, COVID. But I think if you actually stop and pay attention to it, this go round for me was far worse than the first time for sure. So
yeah,
but we'll.
In my mind's eye, it's always Matt and Eugene, Eugene and Matt. You know, you guys are always together. When you're at an event, is it hold hands or like would you just like separate and just like see how it unfolds? Is there a little bit of sort of I'll get you there or you know like.
Well, we did have, there was two, was it consecutive years at Wu2K where first time Matt was on fire and he was just firing on all cylinders and I was like, see ya, off you go. But he stuck around and we had a good time together. And then the next year, it was the rainy year, wasn't it? And I'd trained the house down and I was ready to go and I took off up the hill.
And I hadn't.
Yeah. And then I got to the top of the hill and I was like, you know what? This is a shitty day. It's a, you know, it's a shortened course. I just want to hang out with my mate. And so we just hung out together.
Yeah. But the mate didn't want the mate to hang out with the mate. The mate could see that the mate was doing really, really well and was like, just go.
You go.
Like, honestly, you're on fire. Yeah. You're on fire.
But no, we didn't. And then we had a good time. So,
yeah. And we've done it. We've back and forth a couple of Keplers. This one was probably the first time where as soon as we got to the bottom of – the climb up to the bluffs, I was like, I knew it's the first step I took over the line. I thought I shouldn't have done this. You know, I was so sick and Eugene was off and that was cool because it just was, that was the way that it was going to go. But I think that was the salmon run, you know, you get swept up the hill. Mm. We're generally pretty convivial.
Mm.
And Eugene's on fine form, so he's going to blow that.
Oh, now listen, you guys, you mentioned that there's some discussion about my sharpening block.
Matt, you might want to wait in the car. Mum and Dad are fighting. Ali had written up your last sort of 4 or 5 weeks of training, and she said, "I can't just move."
Yeah.
And so I sort of scrolled through. Yeah, I like it. You know, she's an incredibly qualified, capable, smart coach, and I love what she does. But I was like, you know, I'm like, but you know, if it was me, it'd be a lot, you know, sharpen block, right? You know, like I see training blocks, macro cycles, sort of a little bit polarizing. That we do a big base build, and then we chuck the miles away, and I get the whip out, and I wanted to flog it. To be honest, I had a lot of. If she hadn't said to me, can you make some changes to Eugene's, you know, sharpening block? I'm not happy with it. You would have seen a lot more progression runs, tempo runs, and finish fast long runs in there. And I don't know how did that end. Have you gone back and
you've got the best of both worlds, I think, Eugene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Some kid gloves, but also if you feel a bit of the lash, that's me. Don't you worry. Good one. It should be fun.
The hand of Kerry. Cool. Look forward to it. It's been a great build up. Thank you.
It's been fun. So, Tarawera, we are now, we're getting close. Really is the camp.
Yeah.
A lot of athletes are sort of, you know, just doing their final preparation, planning their travel, and put the final few touches on things. It's a little bit of sharpen and taper to go. And then the 15th big party in Rotorua, and for some it's from Kauru with love. And for others it's reworked courses saved by the deft hands of Timothy Day once again, and all to play for and finish upon the village green at the lakefront in Rotorua. Looking forward to it.
Except you're not coming.
First of 15. This is I've done every single year, but unfortunately this year, because of my accident, I'm in hospital for 6 weeks. I'll be stuck in a bed on my back. I've got 8 hours of surgery coming up, and It's two surgical teams will be going to town on my scapula and triceps, just moving some tendons around so that I have a little bit more arm function. And it's going to be really hard for me to miss the race. It's going to be hard because for the first few weeks I'll have very limited ability to do, even to communicate. I won't be able to operate. I mean, I have no hands and arms to move whilst I'm recovering. So, you know, even dictation is going to be really hard. So, you know, we've got a lot of athletes. I've got a lot of athletes that I've been helping personally towards the event. And, you know, it's really sad that I'm not there for their sharpening. And it's really sad not to see them on race day. So, struggling with it, but doing the best that I can.
And it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's still the same event, just minus Kerry. I'm sure Paul Charteris will pop in and do as usual. And, I mean, he's probably just him and I.
And I didn't mean Tarawera will be worth it.
No, Tarawera
will be worth it, but your surgery will be worth it. It's going to be, it's going to give you so much more motion, you know, ability.
Yeah.
And,
Triceps are a big thing. And, you know, like I do this and I've been bottom lipping around the place complaining bitterly about how bad it is. But, you know, there's people out there in chairs. There's people out there in worse situations than me. And there's people going through all kinds of shit from mental health to cancer diagnosis. And, you know, like it's tough out there for many people losing their fathers or, you know, family members that have lost lives through accidents. So I shouldn't complain so much and you're not like, I'll be fine. It's just a surgery and a recovery block, and I will try and ice spy as best I can and try to tell where I'm going to stay. Yep, I will be trolling the app, checking everyone, and seeing whatever live feeds I can get them finished on. In their own spirit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, in their own spirit. And it's actually not that you need permission, but it's okay to stick your bottom of the paper. I'm sure you would rather just not have to do the surgery, right?
Oh,
like,
man.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but everyone's entitled to their bad head, eh? Like, things can go wrong. It's okay. No problem's worse than any other. It's just that it's all through. But, onwards to Tarawera. Like, I know that, you know, it's been a patchy few years with COVID and travel and those sorts of things. So I feel like we're starting to sort of really open back up to the world with Tarawera and to be hosting again what will be, 15th year, 14th running, and a really international affair. So I see we have, you know, elite athletes from all around the world as per normal. You know, we've got Italians, French, Spanish, Swiss, Japanese, Chinese, South African, Dunedin. It's all represented.
The Republic of Dunedin. But look back at that first year, Gary, you were there. Were there any international elites on the line then?
There were internationals, and you know, I think Dr. Joe Pedersen's an elite by most measures. He's done, I think, 11. This might be his 12th one now, I think. And he was there, and I saw the Tarawera guys had posted a photograph of some of the start line stuff from that first year, and it's worth just casting your eye on it because it shows how far our sport has come in 15 years. There's people just wearing those cheap cloth, Mizuno shoes, and more than half of the people don't have watches at all because there was hardly really a GPS watch of any sort of measure. And so if you didn't have a GPS watch, what was the point of reporting it? Strava didn't exist. And what are you going to do? You just Seiko, Indigo, backlight, timing. Like this. Most people just, run with your brum, shorts and a t-shirt, and half the people didn't even have headlamps. So it is fascinating just having a closer look at that photo.
Sounds blissful.
I like my
watch. I like Strava. I like my headlamp. I love my new headlamp, actually. And like all that stuff. But, geez, you can get hung up on it, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Not a single person could tell you 15 years ago what HRV was, what it was used for, or what does Garmin do now? The elevation, peak elevation condition? And
gives you a health strength score.
Yep. None of that. No power, yeah. Nothing. Just lean forward and do it, and then hope you'll come out inside somewhere in front of someone else, and that's what you aim to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot
of
fun.
And that photo of the finish line gantry?
Yeah.
It was so cute. Yeah. It was just like a teeny, teeny, tiny little.
Yeah, when I finished that first year, we were at Prairie Park and next to the hot poles in Kodo, and there was some traffic cones around grass field, and – I think there were two women sitting behind a desk that were just sort of recording times and names of people as they came in. There was my crew of two people, and that was it. It was a crowd of four people, and to be fair, half of them were surprised when I showed up. So, yeah, it was, and it was only the 85K. The 100K didn't get added until the following year, and then sort of it really started to get competitive from there on. It sort of did nothing but grow for a long time. So, yeah, it's great, and it's been great to be part of it the entire time. It's seen so. It's I think it's been the birth of ultra running for so many New Zealanders, and. It's helped sort of nourish and nurture that culture of trail running in the country. And, you know, it may not, for many, be the, you know, the ultimate trails in New Zealand. You might argue Kepler or Old Ghost is nicer or, you know, or this, that. But, you know, it is what it is. It's like Western States probably isn't the finest running trails in the US. But, you know, it's sort of the spiritual home for many people. And Tarawera is that and will be that, I hope, for many years to come.
Hmm. You're certainly right with the allure of it, eh? Like, it is just something about the mystique of the event and the grandeur of the event as well. So let's, speaking of grandeur, let's I mean, we're here for the preview. You know, have at it. What let's start with the hundred K athletes. Who are we looking out for? Who do we fancy if you get your little bookie visors out and you
yeah we've been sleeve elastics. We fortunately have been furnished with what Ironman have gathered as the elite athlete list, so those are the athletes that have gone through the elite athlete application process for supported travel or accommodation or race insurer, those sort of things. So the good thing about this list is those are the known quantities elite athletes. Obviously, I want to put a big asterisk before we get started on this tonight and just say, look, there will always be athletes that didn't need to go through that process, that, you know, are happy just sort of showing up and racing and running. So there will be people not included in the discussion tonight that, you know, anything that happened race day, but I think we've got a pretty good idea of, you know, probably 80 or 90% of it. Ali, you want to take us away?
Oh, well, looking at the list, I was – first glance, I just thought there's a lot of Australians coming over to race, which is going to make it interesting. Lots of well-known names from UTA or COSI. Yeah, so we're seeing quite a lot of them coming over the ditch again, which is great. Some of the, I mean, you're going on ATRA rankings. Who have we got? Let's kind of.
Would you want to look at the women's field for the?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. So this, yeah. Kiri's going to sort it by gender.
It's cool. Yep. Make it easier. Even easier.
Yeah. So. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Spreadsheeting prowess.
So, woo-hoo. Yeah, looks fairly tight. So we've got Juliet Sewell, who won Stromlo 2022. So she had a pretty slick 50K. 404.
Yeah, Stromlo is pretty grunty. It's usually at a really hot time of the year. It's quite a competitive race with a big field. So to win there, that's a really good win to take. And she did just over 4 hours, 50K is pretty impressive. But I see, I was having a scratch around her Strava, and she's doing all the cycling at the moment and does talk about occasionally suffering with stressy. So I hope she's not injured.
She's all right. There's a lady called Beth McKenzie who seems to be a former Ironman champion triathlete. She can run a 2:37 marathon, which is pretty darn fast. We've got our very well-loved Dr. Katie Wright.
Never heard of her.
She's injured in the 102, which is a bit of a surprise because she kind of prefers her longer distances. So she was third in the 100-mile last year. She was 2022 champion of the 100-miler. Top 10 at UTA in 2022. Yeah, 18th at UTMB. She tends to kind of, I would have thought, prefers kind of the mountainous events, but it'll be interesting to see what she can throw down for the 102. And then Sarah Ludovici, who we saw at UTK. So she's a well-known Australian runner. So she's been to Tarawera as well before in 2019. She was sixth place. 100K, first at Surf Coast 100K, which is quite interesting. Quite a flat, fast course there. And then she's done Tarawera again. She's done UTA 100. So she's a real bit of a prolific racer. And I'm also going to do a bit of a shout-out for our very, very own amazing athlete, Nikki Everton, who is not on the elite athlete list. She's just entered herself, but she took out the course record for the 100K Tauper Ultra in October, and she was top 10 for Tarawera last year for the 102, and we are hoping that she will have a really great day out because she's an amazing runner.
Yeah, that total time was slick. What did she run there?
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was she took Cecilia Flores' record, and we know how slick Cecilia is as well, so that just kind of shows the caliber that Nikki is at.
Yeah, she's been training really well as well. She stopped in here fairly recently, and her training's been going great. She's been sort of, again, sort of in our safe hands, and really good seeing what athletes from our train to target stable from that program can do when it's applied well. But yeah, she's out at Gizzy and does a lot of training over there, and
she's Hawke's Bay.
Hawke's Bay, sorry. Yeah.
That goes.
East Coast.
Yeah, so I think she'll get horned. She's in good shape. So, it's not a 9-hour total run, but I think she'd be a concern for the other woman in that race.
I'd like to add Robin Leach.
Oh, yeah.
Second to Kepler. Pro runner for La Sportiva, is back from the States, living back in Wanaka, in the Katie Wright sort of mafia. So, super.
Katie Wright knows she has a mafia.
I think she does.
Oh, she does.
It's always the ones you don't suspect. But she's in that crew. Human beings of Wanaka, and I reckon Robin will be. Will be in the mix for real.
Awesome.
What about in the men's side?
Or
the 100K?
Yeah, quite an international field in that men's race. There's a couple of La Sportiva guys from Italy are coming over. Roberto Mastrotto and Alessandro Zambon. I think they both DNF'd at UTMB. They're thereabouts. They finished, I think, 8th and 15th respectively at Lavaredo. So like the mountainous stuff, that's a pretty standard La Sportiva, on brand kind of thing. They're pulling some pretty good ultra numbers. These guys are 830, 804 ultra points. So, pretty hot in the mix with probably the best that we've got showing up in that field. So that's our Italian lads.
Yeah. Justin Grunewald, from Boulder, he's top kind of ranking when it comes to ultra points, 861. He is, you probably remember, oh my goodness, now I'm going to have a brain fart. Our lovely red-headed, oh my gosh, Amanda Basham, who's come out to Tarawera a number of times, her partner, her baby daddy, he's coming out, and he's been looking for crew, so we've lined him up with someone to crew him, so he's ready to throw down. He's pretty cool.
He was third at Canyons last year, and Canyons was hyper competitive. He didn't finish CCC. He was racing that in September. Before we carry on, he's actually my pick for the 102K win.
But there was also a mention of Dan Jones, wasn't there?
If that happens, we'll see if we get confirmation.
Yeah, because he's had a bit of COVID. Sam McCutcheon as well, though.
Can't count him out. He's an old hand to Tarawera, Sam. I remember him throwing down, I think it was in 2017, and he was third place at Tarawera 100 against some incredible athletes, and he really showed.
Was it Bowman and Bowman and Cody Reed?
Even last year at Tarawera, I mean, he was setting the pace and led the race for a big chunk of it, and he is an incredibly high caliber athlete, and you kind of lose track of maybe how good some of our New Zealand athletes are, but definitely in the mix, and I wouldn't expect him to be far out of that sort of lead five for most of the race. And shot at a podium, good shot at a win.
Single most stressful crewing experience of my entire life, crewing Sam McCutcheon at the outlet during that race.
Yeah, that was about crunch time.
Yeah, well, it was for me because I was running as fast as I could run to keep up with him because he didn't stop. So he handed me a one of those Ultra Spire hybrid bottles. You know, they're not a flask, they're not a bottle, they're like a flottle, and a muesli bar a Mother Nature muesli bar with one of Sarah's hair ties attached to it. He goes, right, bro, just you'll see me. I'll come around the corner. I'll just throw my bottles and then you just have to basically sprint to keep up with me and hand me this thing. It was hectic.
I hope you've been doing your speed work, Matt.
I had been, but he also wanted to know what was happening as well. So he's like, oh, so what's happening?
I can't talk.
Yeah. Anyway, no one died. Anyway, moving on. He's fast.
Anne-Marie Muzumpapwa from Joburg, South Africa. I was having a look at his training. That's quite a bit of interesting stuff on Strava if you were interested. Interesting chap, interesting training. 750 each points, pretty good. South Africa's a long way to come. And I wish him all the best. I hope he runs well. He was 17th at UTCT 100K last year. UTCT is always quite competitive, hot and hard, but really good mixed mode training, so we'll see how he goes.
Another South African, Robert Rorich from White River. He scores pretty high with his extra points. Sixth at Ultra Trail.
UTCT.
UTCT. Ultra Trail Cape Town, 100-miler.
Yeah, I was looking at the Sky Running results too. There's a Sky Running series that did four or five races, and he won every single one of them last year. So, that's pretty good going. 815 extra points, pretty handy.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to see a few South Africans coming over.
That UTMB stuff is actually quite useful at getting athletes to travel the world and try different things.
Yes. Isn't it, Jeff?
Awkward pause. maybe we'll get
to that. No, hang on. Do we address the great Satan in the room?
It's funny how much...
Just out of camera shot of all of us.
There's Devin Beckman with a gun. right in the corner. It's just over there. Keep talking.
I feel like we have a pretty, I want to say, relatively neutral perspective about it. I don't have really strong views. And I don't think I've had a single comment on social media about the whole UTMB Whistler thing. And maybe I'm using social media wrong because people seem to be kicking up really rough about this and it's still going. It's up to the point now where athletes are starting breakaway trail running series just simply because they don't want to show up at certain events around the world. And it seems, I don't know, somewhat overly petty, but it seems like if this is your biggest problem, my legs don't work. Like there's some big problems out there. And people are having to cry about Whistler by UTMB. I don't know. It kind of makes sense. The company that owns that ski resort own some 20-odd ski resorts around North America. And with the winter season looking less and less reliable for them, they're all developing, mountain biking and trail running scenes in the summertime. So when a large multinational rolls over and says, hey, we're interested in doing a trail race on one of your ski resorts, it's going to you can bet at that table is discussion about all sorts of events across North America, and how good would it be to have another 20 neat events on ski resorts, whether it has a suffix by UTMB or not. And for those that feel strongly about whether or not we should or shouldn't have UTMB branding on stuff, every year at UTMB, the bigwigs of trail running sit down, and at that table is New Zealand and Australia represented in the voice of trail running globally because we carry that branding. Because we choose to be part of something. I talked to the event director of Western States and I said, why do you need this? You don't need this hassle. Your event sells out 100 times over anyway. And he said, we need a seat at the table. We need to be part of whatever is dictating the terms of trail running in the world. And New Zealand and Australia are represented courtesy of the good people that have, are currently holding together Ultra Trail Australia, Tuttawera by UTB and North Trail Kosciuszko as well. So we're very, in some regards, very lucky. We represent. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think that whole thing about, two things can exist at the same time. Yep, business is business. Yep, Gary Robbins seems like such a good dude. Mm. And I would love to run the 50-50. That is a bucket list race for me, right? Like I would love to do that race. And also, I think we're deluding. So, we have got some negative comments about UTMB, but whatever. look at the watches we wear, look at the shoes we wear, look at the, do you know what I mean? What's the net worth of the North Face?
Yeah.
You know, it's not a couple of plucky young upstarts taking on the big guys. These are well-paid athletes representing multinational corporations. I don't know. I think it comes down to, if you don't like it, don't do it.
Yep.
And also, you can have both. You can support grassroots events. You can, you can exclusively race close to your patch. You can choose to do one or other or both. And it's just this binary outrage that, it's a shitty decision, right? Like, I get it for old mate. That would have sucked.
Yeah.
And, if you don't like it, don't do it.
Yeah, you run a business, anything can happen. You can be rolled by Mud Church Radio, anything can happen. Like, you think the big fish are the cool guys, and then, you know, big multinational decides they're going to start up the exact same thing that you were doing. And it's
some actual good runners, but yeah, They've tried that and they're not as popular. Anyway, is that okay, Devin? Yeah, cool. Okay, thanks.
Kelly and Jack can put together a podcast that just crushes your one.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Ella?
I think, so I'm going to go on my personal feel, right? Like, we've worked with Tarawera and UTA for a number of years, both pre-Ironman purchase and post-Ironman purchase. And I think it's easy to kind of get caught up in a brand, but actually it's a pretty small team that put on the events across Australasia. And that GCs, I actually really like going to the races and working with the people that put the events on. They're passionate about what they do. They are fun to work with. You know, they try really hard. And it's not like there's this huge machine that shows up. It's probably a relatively small team of maybe in New Zealand, I don't even know, 15 people maybe?
Yeah.
Less than that.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you think about where we've stayed, so in the years that I've been, it's certainly not hotel rooms. I've stayed in a large hilltop mansion where I'm sure pornography was shot. I've stayed in a haunted orphanage with Eugene, and we stayed in a murder house. Can't get more grassroots than that.
It's pretty grassroots. In reality, it's pretty grassroots.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, when it comes to the events that we work with, like, you know what you're getting. You go to UTA, you go to Tarawera, you go to COSI, and you know that they're going to put on a good, safe event, that they've got all the right things in place. Like, we see the bottom of the iceberg. A lot of people that do the events, they only see the very tip. And I've heard and seen stories from other events that definitely do not have the caliber of health and safety that the Ironman or by UTMB events have. That's kind of the other thing.
And stuff happens. Stuff goes wrong at all sorts of events too. So if you're going to start chucking rocks, you better chuck rocks at everything. If you find you and your mates are clinging to a rock in Macetown reaching for your PLB, then your event's gone poorly. If there's a number of events out there where things just didn't pan out well. I mean, look what we had with Wild a couple of years ago. And, you know, like...
lost so much money, and then people from UTA were complaining about having to run a contingency course. And it's like, dude, you get to run your race. I can understand being disappointed with a contingency course, but you haven't lost a lot of money or flights. Like, some of the Australians were around $5,000 out of pocket. So there's that. Plus, it's getting harder and harder to put events on. Like, the red tape is getting more and more.
Oh, man, hosting courses. Yeah. I mean, you all saw Tarawera again. Struggling to put things together, it's a really complicated network of trails with more than 30 landowners.
Yeah.
And, you know, people immediately bar up and like, oh, I know a much better course. I'm like, well, cool, Gavin from Tarawera.
Do you have permission?
Yeah. Shall we? I hope you bought a slide deck, mate, and you've got access to all of it. I hope you've met with Iwi for the last 6 months about it. And it's just, I don't know. I think maybe people think it's a lot easier just to draw a line on a map and go, let's just send 7,000 people that way. That'll be fun.
I could put on a cool course, but I have no idea how it would work logistically.
No way.
From a retrieval point of view, or from landowner permission.
Yeah.
Well, look, I can't. First of all, I'm outraged that you're, you know, impugning the honor of the Pitaru Punisher, which is the premier grassroots 100-mile event in Aotearoa. But let's keep cracking. I led the diversion. And stoked the fire of it. This is my skill.
Yeah. Okay. Eugene, have you had a look at the 50K. Oh,
50K women.
Can we run out the hundreds, Eugene? Anything you want to add to
our No. I did. I added. I chucked in Sam. I put my money on Sam McCutcheon, remember?
All right. Let's keep it. Task
50K women. 50K women.
50K women. There's actually a few names that. Oh, you've got.
Four or five.
So, Mal Aiken, old hand in New Zealand trail running scene.
Legend.
Yeah. Super legend. Third at Race Tech 4 in 2023. Yep. Fourth at Wu2K. So.
Toughest two old red bands. Mal Aiken, she's unstoppable. and glad she's still rocking it. So, yeah, cool. It'll be good to have her.
Absolutely.
I wish I was there to give her a high five with this one. But, yeah, she's still got it. She's still racing. Kate Avery.
Yeah.
British Kate Avery.
Yes, British Kate Avery. We did have her. Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Third at Tarawera 50.
We had a slight panic, didn't we, Kerry? We didn't know whether it was. Well, I didn't. There was a couple of Kate Averys that it could have been.
Yeah.
But I checked, and it's this one.
Yeah. She's badass. So, has done some racing in Australia. She's done the Tarawera. She's had a run, so that's good. Siobhan Seber from Australia, second at the Brizzy 20K last year, third at Buff 50, and first at GSER. GSER is bonkers.
So they're all actually quite hilly events that she's performed well at. So it'll be interesting to see how she finds our flatter trails.
Yep.
Flat fast.
Yeah, who else we got? Robin Leash. I couldn't find.
That's Matt's friend. But she's doing the 100-2 now, Matt.
I probably buggered that up.
Okay.
Or is she doing the 50? We'll find out, I guess.
Do you want to shout her out again?
Robin Leash, she's a pro trail runner for La Sportiva, lives in Wanaka. Where's she from? Katie Wright. She's from America. She's moved back with her husband. They're friends of Katie Wright, who she's
Katie Wright may be doing the 50K as well. We don't know.
Can we do this? No, she's not. She's doing 100K. Everyone does a shot when they hear Katie Wright's name.
She's dominating this podcast again, Katie.
Well, I think it's you guys are fighting for primacy now. So it's between you both.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
50K is a pretty fast course. It's unchanged from previous years, so that'll be a good one to go on. So it should be fast running. It's mostly Forestry Road and a little bit of single trail in the Puckbeaver Forest. So
I'm quite excited about this list.
Yeah.
So we met at COSI Tuamaskari, who won the 50K at UTK by 10 minutes.
Mm.
He was just so fast. So that's going to be really interesting to see how the showdown goes, because we've got Michael Voss, local legend, amazing athlete from Rotorua. 341,
I think, is his course record. Something like that. Yeah, so, he just won the 10,000 meter champs the other day. 29 minutes, pretty much 29 flat. So.
He's got the local knowledge, obviously.
He had a big block of training last year for the World Half Marathon champs in Eastern Europe somewhere. Lithuania. He's in great shape, and I hope he's going to be on the start line for that 50, because he will torch it. It won't be easy running with him around.
Can I also say, when we were going through the list, I said to Kerry, Charlie Hamilton, I've got like a little, it's not a crush, but it's like a little love for him, because at UTA when he finished, he's just young and bubbly, but also just so gracious and genuine. That was how I felt about him at the finish line when we interviewed him. So he was second at UTA 50 last year, 64th at OTC, won the 20K races at UTK in Buffalo in 2022. And just a really neat athlete. He's Hoka sponsored. And I actually messaged our friend who works for Hoka Australia afterwards, and I just said, he is such a great ambassador for the sport.
How Hell of a bass player as well.
Like, yeah, you guys had the music and music love happening.
We talked for the whole, we messaged each other for the whole of that event about, like, yeah, just sending each other music. Oh, said, talking about
who's got the crush? Who's got the crush?
Make a little phone. We'll do a video.
I'd like to say it was a mutual thing. It wasn't just me crushing on him, you know, like.
Eugene, did you have a crush on him as well?
He wasn't there.
I wasn't there, but I was.
He'll develop on that. It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, Louis Schindler. So I was really surprised to see his name on the start list for the
Super surprised.
Usually he's just like an endurance beast, right? Like he does all the long stuff. So to see him on the 50K start line is fascinating.
Yeah, he had a tough year last year though, DNF in UTMB and Canyons. So he's not even finishing his breakfast at the moment. So I hope he can get through 50Ks fast because the longer stuff is chopping around and he's a Carmichael coaching guy, and he did, in case you're interested, an old ghost reversey. So he ran the 85 k's one way and turned around and ran back again in some blustering time. Wow.
He's a beast. If you look at him, like, and I know that you can't. It's sort of his robustness and the physicality of him, and just the size of him. You know, he's a beast.
Ronnie Spark, he's won 6 foot track in 2023. So last year, and 6 foot track is a really prestigious race to win. Mm-hmm. It's 44, 45 k. It's been changed. The course has been changed recently. They added new steers for this year's event. That's a hard one to get. So he's 20th at CCC and second at UTA Ultra Australia in 2022 in the 50K there. So can run, definitely a contender, top three contender.
He was the favourite for the UTA 100 last year and had to pull. He had the flu, unfortunately, but he'd been training up a storm before then and yeah, Sydney local. Sydney local goes up to on the weekends up to the Blueies and just trains his tail off.
He knows a Brit. He wasn't that finish at UTA 2022 in the 50K. Wasn't there some savage sprint that he was involved in?
Oh, it often.
So he's got wheels.
At the steers.
Yeah.
The further steers, the number of times that you see leads change or the top three positions get a real shuffle in what is. For them, probably about a 12 to 13-minute climb from the forest floor up to the finish line. So it's guts, man. Could you imagine racing, racing someone else for 49 kilometres and you're all just breathing your guts out of VO2 max, holding onto the handrail, trying to get to the top, and then looking over your shoulder, sprinting to the finish line. UTA has seen some incredible stuff.
Yeah. Jono Jackson as well, of course, a bit of a local legend. We see him screaming around Riverhead like he's, on fire.
Yeah.
Fourth at 50K Tarawera last year, winner of the 100K, of course, in 2021, won the grant at Kepler. So he's got some recent form as well. You wouldn't count him out. But that men's 50K is shaping up to be the race of the weekend, I reckon.
Spicy. John has run well under 15 minutes for 5K. He's 30 minutes flat for 10K. So, he's on paper. His numbers pull a lot the same as Michael Voss. So, they're old friends and they've raced plenty of times before. And I think they've swapped course records a few times here at the Tarawera 50. So, we're going to see them racing again. Yatiara Yukiochi from Japan, Ichikonich
Kons.
Eric Kons from France, or Numia. Gabriel Fior from Italy. That men's 50 is. Oh, well, it's amazingly global competitive 50K race, and plus extra New Zealanders and Australians that probably aren't on this list.
And we didn't talk about Michael Hooker, so he's Australian. I think he's kind of been quite a backyarder, but he's obviously going to race the 50, which is going to be interesting. So we shall see.
It's going to be super interesting. To the miler. It's going to be another interesting race, isn't it? It's sort of, has it become the race of Tarawera, do you reckon?
Paul Charteris would be unhappy. No, I honestly don't think it is. I think still the prestige is the, it's, you know, the one I've won twice.
no bias here.
Well, I mean, that's the one that you won, right? Like, I'm just trying to think. Sage Kennedy's won it twice. Debo's won it twice, and this other guy. And although, to be fair, I think Ruby's won it three times. So she's No, I don't agree with you. I think the Mitre is a great event. It's now
competitive. It was a question. It was a question. You don't need to disagree with me.
Okay. There's 600 odd starters, so huge, yeah. Really, to have that many people doing the Mitre, which is great and a pretty good course, all things considered, given that the last minute changes, it's more or less a measure for the previous years. Probably a touch slower, but not by much. Similar elevation out in back of Western Okotina. It's going to separate the the wheat from the chaff, and it should be a guts course and a good run, but plenty sub 20s in the list this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting showdown for the females. So probably the standout is Naomi Brand. She's raced Tarawera before. She's a really strong runner. And then, of course, Kanoka Izumi as well. She's raced Tarawera a number of times.
She won Mount Fuji, a couple of years ago.
She's won Northburn.
So really strong runner. A lot of experience.
Yeah. My pick's Naomi for this one. I think that, she's got good form. She's been here plenty of times. She's quite experienced. You know, she's done sixth at the 102. She's been third at Trail Australia 100. She's been third at Trail Cape Town 100 miles. So, she's got form. She's got pedigree. And I think she's probably got the edge in these other women, but, it's all to play for. Who else on the list do we see?
Yeah, a few, Australian names there, Chantal Smith, Jessica Schluter. They're both raced Brisbane Trail Ultra 110K. So, again, it's quite a hilly event. So
yeah, they were first and second there.
Yeah.
So
those two. And then we've got
Anna O'Byrne from Dunedin. British driver stalking. She's running around the hills at the moment getting fit. She was sixth in the 100 mile last year. So probably looking to improve on that.
And then Kamino Miyazaki from Tokyo, Japan. She's got quite a high entry score. First at Ultra Trail Mount Fuji 100 mile in 2022. And she was, 2023, second in the Tarawera 100 miler this last year. We're in January
24
now, aren't we?
Hoka athlete.
Men's 100 mile.
Take us away. Well, purely based on entry points, it's Adrian McDonald. He's 900, which is amazing, right up there. So he was first in 2022 at UTK. We're allowed to say that now, hey? Cozzy. 33rd in 2023 UTMP. I don't know anything about him, really, apart from that he's obviously incredibly fast.
When you look on ITRA, it usually has the percentile that the athlete is in, and he's in the 100th percent, not even the 99th percent.
Whoa!
So he's triple figured it, which must be, that must feel like winning ITRA for all the importance that that is.
Who else have we got? Mike Carroll from Canberra. I think Canberra actually offers very like running to Tarawera. It's quite, so from a training ground perspective, there won't be a massive difference for him coming over the ditch, apart from might be a little bit cooler and a lot less snaky and kangaroo-y.
Canberra's got some great open running. For anyone who wants to go to a city, it's a cool groovy city that's got it going on but also has epic trail running in lots of different places all the way around town. Canberra is it. And I know we make fun, Australians make fun of Canberra like we make fun of Hamilton. But it is a really neat place, a really good town to get running from. So yeah, Mike should be able to give the course a pretty good push, I think.
Very legit, yeah. Who else have we got? Kerry? Oh, your buddy Sage.
Yeah, I did message Sage overnight. Normally he gets back to me, but he didn't get back to me. So he's probably very busy. But I see Sage is currently training quite well. I'm sure he wants to get out of the Boulder winter and come back to Tarawera. He's been here a number of times. I think this will be his fourth trip, maybe fifth trip out. It's first time doing the 100 miles at Tarawera, and I don't know that he's done, you know, lots of 100 miles. I think he preferred shorter distance, you know, 50 mile and 100k events. So he's sort of, I guess, trying out his heels at something a bit longer, which is pretty cool. He raced TDS last year and was 12th, and that's no mean feat because it's a mountainous sort of race, very, very hard TDS, and I guess you can do your altitude training in Boulder, but you know, really TDS suits those that live in the south of France and get to train in the mountains all the time. So he did well there.
Coming over from Littleton, Colorado, Austin Chirico. He was third in 2022 at Canyons. So he's one to watch.
Victor Guerdin from Saint-Pierre, Reunion, France. In case you didn't know, St. Pierre is actually where sushi comes from, and it's not actually sushi unless it comes from St. Pierre. It's just delightful seaweed rolls.
You're not allowed to call
it's
it
like
that.
Champagne.
Yes.
Right.
Victor was fourth. Grand Raid Reunion. Sorry about that one. Dad's jokes have taken over the pod.
Some people. Believe you.
Yeah, you think? That's where sushi comes from.
I don't reckon anyone will. I reckon we're pretty safe on sushi.
He's going to be super excited when he gets here and sees that there's sushi from his hometown. That's all I can say. but, yeah, he's running about 800 extra points, so probably a top three contender. Grand Ray, very tough race. To finish fourth out of 1,200 starters, I think they had in that race last year. So good shape, running well. Hope to see him here in New Zealand.
Adrian McDonald is also involved with Zach Friedley's event, isn't he, Matt?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Adrian McDonald, he's a 2-time Leadville winner. So right. I'm not sure about his ITRA points, but we know that he can throw down at a race that's, you know, at altitude and also quite fast.
Nathan Ryken from Whangarei up north. Was training really well. I think he did Taupo 100 in 8 hours 26. That's my sleuthing. Possibly went out a little bit hot there, relatively new to the trail and ultra scene, but clearly running well and training well. There's only two types of terrain in Whangarei. There's the flat stuff and the ridiculously steep stuff. I noticed a sharp drop in his mileage very recently, so I hope he's okay. But that'll be good to have him. You know, a few more good Kiwi runners on that 100-mile start line.
Hey, look, speaking about the start line, we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but this year we are faced with some course changes. We were, of course, all hoping to get back to the old courses, new courses, but nature has dictated again that there has to be some changes with some lake levels and the slip, of course, when the lake – land decided to jump into the lake last year just before the race. So what impact are those course changes going to have on the racing? What sort of things should people be careful about or know before they start? You guys have been intimately involved. What do you reckon?
Yep, really quick tips. And it's funny, we've done a few Facebook Lives about courses and crowing and various other things for the groups. And I realize I've completely missed this, but there's a couple of course splits that will be taking place for the 50, 100, and 100 mile. And I think probably if you're in the 50, 100, 100 mile events, it's just to know where they are. The key ones are all actually back at Tikitapu, Blue Lake. For the 50K runners, there's a course split for you where you could easily end up on the 100K course if you get it wrong. I wouldn't recommend that. It's going to turn your 50K into what will be effectively 100Ks. For 100K runners, if you take the wrong course at that point, you've halved your day, which might be a good thing. 100-mile runners, as you come up after Buried Village and crest the hill at the back of Tikitapu, it would be easy for you to also accidentally join one of the wrong courses. So there's sort of like a confluence of three courses in that area there, and it just probably everyone I think should, you know, pay to have their, you know, wits about them. The macro view is the 100K course, arguably not quite as good as the traditional Kōrero course. Starting at Tapuia is a major plus. The running's really good through the Whakarewerewa Forest, so a little bit faster there. The out and back, the Western Katina will be tough. this time of the year, Rotorua is kind of one day of rain for 5 days of not. So those are your odds, people. 20% chance of rain is my pick. Let us start on the seam seal jacket debate now. Western Nookatona will get cut up a bit. We are seeing a lot of runners out there on the 100K course and the 100-miler course. Out and back, 100-mile runners can pick up paces, which adds foot traffic to that trail. It varies between being beached and bladed and wide and being sort of more single track, which is where it is at now. It's not really woolly, but it will be. You will need to navigate head-to-head traffic on that course. Normally, people have said they've enjoyed seeing the elite runners blast past, and that's generally pretty well received. And I think that's the well-spirited people. Not many people see it as a bad thing, unless perhaps it gets really wet and then gets cut up and it might be a little bit more challenging. Mm. What are your thoughts on the course, Alan?
I think they've done a good job on pulling it together, and they've put on the best course that they can. Western, it's not my favourite run around here, but you know what? It's you've got to have a section that's tough. It's just going to come at a tough point in the race, but it did anyway. So, yeah, just make sure you save a bit in the tank for that, because it can, if you haven't run Western before, it's a bit slower, it's a bit tougher, and make sure you've got some good running legs still for the final trip home.
It's one of those trails that's somehow uphill both ways. The other thing to watch, yeah, I think, with that Western Nookatona run is for the 100K runners and 100-mile runners, you'll go down to the Nookatona Outdoor Education Centre, which is your aid station. You then will do about a 4K Twin Lakes loop before returning on Western Nookatona. The reason why I draw attention to this is because that will end up being, I think, in about the vicinity of about 20Ks between aid stations, on a particularly tough and slow part of the course. So don't think of it as just 20Ks, but it's going to be quite a blown-out long 20Ks as well. And you haven't got any option to resupply or refuel along there. You cannot drink from the creeks because they're kind of farmland. So I think probably just as you want to make sure that you top everything up really, really well. That Nookatona aid station is clutch. So make sure you take your time, well-stocked, and ready to roll.
And can I also add that Kaharua School, I believe, are looking after the Miller Road aid station, and I had the most gorgeous conversation with a 10-year-old boy. So our friends, we hiked the Tarawera Trail with their kids the other day, and he was saying, "Oh, I just loved being on the aid station and seeing all the runners coming in," and they were telling me about what a great time they had and how special it was for them, and they can't wait to do it again. And I was thinking, that's so cool. And they're actually going out and hiking the trail, so the volunteers are going to go and hike the trail, not this weekend, but next weekend, so that they know what the runners are going through, so that when they come in, they're like, I appreciate how challenging that section is. Isn't that so cool?
Yeah, that's one thing that you can't actually, that's part of the sausage, isn't it? Like, you see how that's made. It's the community groups that get inspired. It's actually the connection to the place. It's the connection to the event. It's the people who give up their time and their energy, and they didn't give it up for Paul Chartres. They don't give it up for UTMB. They give it up for the people who are running.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a special part of it, eh? My legs are sweating.
Oh.
Because it's hot. And I'm talking to you guys, but mainly because it's hot. The heat of the summer, how's that going to be? Is that going to be helping, or is that going to be biting down into people's training?
You start to lose some form when running for an excess of 20 minutes above 13 degrees. So all of the runners are going to be running for longer than 20 minutes, and it will certainly be above 13 degrees. We are topping out in the high 20s, 26 a few days.
29 or 30.
It's been pretty roasty. Humidity isn't a killer here because we've got a little bit of elevation, but it is really quite hot. So there's not a lot of hiding in the Whakarewerewa forest whilst you're in pine forest. It's quite open. And really the bulk of your cover comes from short sections like Tennant's Track and Western. So your athletes will be doing a little bit tough. The Australians should be well conditioned to it. We have you know, try and get our athletes to do heat acclimation and acclimatization. There is a training block that our athletes go through just around Christmas and New Year's to prepare them for that, but it's very hard to execute. And, you know, it's probably still worthwhile. You can't really do a lot of acclimation, but you can do some acclimatization. If you do suffer from the heat a little bit and you think it might be a problem for you on race day, I'd recommend just one of your runs per week in the weeks remaining. For about an hour, get out in the middle part of the day, wear your sunblock, wear a hat. Be okay getting hot and warm, and that will help your brain just get a little bit more conditioned to what may come on race day. And that's you know, that's probably the best that you can do to manage it, outside of getting in one of the lakes and having to swim around, which is an option, but can lead to the nasty chafe monster biting you in the places where chafe monsters do. The real tunny far is in your pants. What are you laughing about?
Oh, my goodness. You've come out with some porkers today, Kieran.
It's always time for a lubricant. You can beat that tunny far back.
Like the That's squirrels right. Butter. That's right. So you're not recommending jumping in the lake?
Paul Charteris did at every possible opportunity. And,
we know how that went.
Yeah, he was double-dipping the Vaseline by the time he got to Tarawera Falls. And just pro tip, don't double-dip the Vaseline top. That's not cool. That's...
Chris Dowley said it was actually to look at somebody in the eyes while you're applying lube.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's like when you look someone in the eyes whilst eating a banana.
Yeah. Like that. You can do both at the same time.
Dip your banana.
Oh, I mean, there's going to be a banana and Vaseline at an aid station. There's a challenge for you. When Dr. Tom or one of his medical crew come over to ask how you're doing, in that moment, slowly peel a whole banana and reach for the Vaseline.
I feel like somebody should do this challenge and send it to Kerry as a video for his hospital bed so he can have a bit of joy.
Why were you DNF'd from Tarawera, Dad? I don't want to talk about it, actually. Yeah, you can imagine that. Like that's a ignominious way to be banned, isn't it?
Very specific reasons. Yeah.
Look at the T's and C's closely.
Oh, it's interesting, isn't it? We said it last year on the start line of the Myler that we run through Okataina so many times at different points in the race and different directions in both directions, and now we're starting it. So there's the only constant thing in any race is change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of the course, isn't it? And I guess at the end of the day, this is the pain of privilege. Like you don't trip and fall and do a 100-miler. Like there's several no-go points along the way.
You've trained for it. You've gone through all manner of hardships just to get the mileage done. You know, mid-February is party day for you guys, and you know, get to enjoy it. And it would be a shame if you're still bottom-lipping about the course, having you know yourself invested so much time in your training, the sacrifice that you've made in your family members as well. So I think you know, just make do and make the most of it, right?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? We can talk about nutrition, we can talk about hydration, you know, we can talk about the courses, but so much of these races comes down to your attitude, doesn't it? So how do you get in the best frame of mind?
Ugh, golly.
I sing the gambler.
Do you?
Poorly. Sing. Yeah. No, mental preparation. That's a really good point. Has been shown to make a significant difference to performance on race day. And it's certainly something that comes at no real cost. It's not like you have running shoes on to go and do it. You know, the research shows that having a positive, you know, mindset, smiling at other people, cracking some jokes, maybe singing the gambit or whatever you do will actually improve your performance. And one of the ones I like to do is just say something nice to someone. You know, like if you see someone and you think they're running well or they've got sick calves or, you know, you like their beautiful, you know, black or blue jet plane top or whatever it might be, just say so. Just go anyway, say something nice to someone and really your performance will improve, but theirs will as well. So, you know, that's a real deal thing you can do.
I'm going to give a shout out. There's a great book. I believe it's called Mental Training for Ultra Running by Addie Bracey, and that is an amazing handbook for going through all of the plethora of strategies that you can employ at different parts of your race, really dialing into what your why is, why you're running, what motivates you. I always like to also, you know, carry people with you that will, you know, the people that might have sacrificed your time with, or, you know, what kind of makes you want to do better. So, yeah, hold them close to your heart when the going gets tough, and I look forward to seeing them at the finish line if you get to.
Yeah, break your feet down into manageable chunks, set some goals, set some good goals, some achievable goals, not necessarily time-based goals, but goals that you can, you know, I'm going to run well up to the next aid station, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to maintain my running form and stay on top of my nutrition and hydration. Goals that you can achieve along the way, you know, big ones and small ones, you know, that'll help avoid you from, you know, help avoid zooming out and seeing, you know, the whole problem in its entirety, which is a really hard thing to deal with, particularly for the longer distances, or if you're running your longer distances for the first time, is just sort of break it down into manageable chunks and achieve each chunk with, you know, success, and then that will set you up for success in the next one. So that's always really good. Positive imagery. A lot of people like to write like nice little notes on their arm or in their drop bag, or have a photo of your loved ones, or the pet dog, or, you know, deceased father, or whatever it might be that helps sort of stir you and make you feel, you know, strong. And so you tuck them into your drop bags or into your pack, or wrist, or whatever it is, or images on your phone. That has been shown to improve performance as well. So, you know, another one worth doing. I always like to put myself out on the course and go, you know, imagine myself on Western Nookatina. I'm halfway through Western Nookatina. What do I see? Well, I'm running through one of those clearings, you know, and it's got the blackberry either side, and it comes close to the trail but doesn't touch the trail. It's dark now. I've been running for some time, maybe 14, 15 hours. How do I feel? Well, I feel a little bit fatigued, but I'm moving okay, you know. Like, so when you start doing those mental preparation exercises now, when the time arrives and you're in those situations, it's not a surprise to the brain. It's not a shock to the nervous system. So you will just continue and remember that you're prepared for it and move on. So I like to sort of do that. Look at the course and just drop yourself on it and think about where you're going to be and how you're going to feel and what time of the day it might be. You know, I would say steer away from the spreadsheet. I saw someone that said, you know, their spreadsheet had leave Okatina aid station at 9:25 a.m. And I'm like, you can't predict that you're going to go through that aid station at 9:25, and setting yourself up for that time means if you slip shy of it, you're setting yourself for failure, and that will be a demotivator for the rest of the race. You're better off setting yourself with, you know, liberal windows and just sort of aiming to run well through them. And if they happen, they happen. That's great. The race is what happens when the running starts. So, you know, maybe don't live and die by your stopwatch. We didn't need them in the first year, and I don't think you need them in the 15th.
Boom. You mentioned the why, Ellie, and just reflecting on what you were just saying too, Kerry, I've learned from experience that your why cannot be connected to a time or a performance thing, because when it doesn't, you know, when it starts to go wrong, when you're not hitting that time or you're not hitting that performance in the way that you won't, and that's your why, you know, it quickly turns to custard.
Yeah, totally.
So your why is kind of a bigger thing, isn't it?
I have a process goal rather than something that's black and white, because, yeah, it's the difference between, you know, you it'll either be good or bad for you versus, you know, something that you can aspire to kind of throughout the event.
Yeah, you know, the top athletes aren't doing it as well. You know, they're not sitting there going, you know, I need to be at Ifakaitu at 9:15 a.m. and I need to be at Buried Village at, you know, like 11:22. You know, they're not looking at their watch, sweating about their power meter or, you know, wattage output. They're just, you know, they're running for the moment and they're analyzing internally how they feel and whether their intensity is sustainable for the remaining duration or distance. So I think that's that, you know, really intuitively understanding your RPE and how it applies to your fuel tank, how much longer you can push at the current pace you're on, and dictate, let that dictate your current, you know, your current speed. And the better you get at that, I think that's one of the true masteries of the sport, sort of analyzing how much you've got left in the tank and how hard you can push at your current pace for, and adjusting. Aim to be halfway through half cooked for those doing the 100-miler. You know, be a little bit wary that 80Ks isn't halfway. You know, it's probably going to feel like 100Ks is halfway for a lot of the athletes. And, you know, just look at that last 60 for the demons that live there.
Such a big day. And regardless of the distance, isn't it? That's the thing that we sort of fall into that trap with the miler, is distance equals probity. I think about the 21, I think about the 50, I think about people pushing themselves right through the field. And we've been lucky enough over those 15 years to be participants and to certainly be on the start and finish lines together. So yeah, we can't, I mean, we're going to miss you, Kerry. Honestly, it's a lot of, I think there's a lot of love in this quartet.
Yeah.
And that's a strong word to use, but it's the appropriate word to use. And yeah, we're going to miss you, bro, but there'll be other Tudawetas.
Oh, yeah. Number 16.
Yeah. A word on the street is that there's a special human that's keen for 2025. So, yeah.
Who's that? Yeah, yeah. Kerry and I are currently, neither of us have finished 100 miles. So,
a Tudawera. Well, I have. A Tudawera. I got to do it with Tim. So, I guess I was kind of lucky there that I got to do it one day when. When the course was sort of ours alone to have. So I have done that 100 miles, but not unfortunately.
I'll set a point of clarification. Matt, you mentioned that there was a lot of love in this quartet. Now, of course, two of you are in love with Charlie Hamilton. So who's out? Is it me or Kerry? Like, I don't know. Like,
who's out? Don't threaten me with a good time, okay? No, look, I mean, this is the thing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So why not? Yeah, I'm in Tudawera 25, 100 miles. So
wow.
It's the goal. That's yeah, it's the goal. It's really exciting. Yep. Don't tell anyone. But yeah, so and it's exciting for a number of reasons. So it'll be a good one. So we'll see you there. But look, go well. And we'll see you real soon.
Great to chat, guys. I can't wait to be on the start lines and finish lines with you again. And we'll see if we can dial you in, Kerry, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need you there.
I would get away with part of it. Love you guys so much. It's always good chatting. And roll on Tudawera, number 15. Year 15.
It's a big friendly.
Super excited. Well done, everyone, to make it this far. And thanks so much, you guys. Love what you do. I love your contributions through Dirt Church. You guys are the best.
Dirt Church Radio.
It's always a good chat. It's always a good time. And I can't wait to see Ellie.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting it's been a fair few start lines that we've been on together now. We're getting, you know, we're a good team. It'll be excellent to see Martin and Kerry will be dearly missed. And we know that there will be a large proportion of people who listen to Dirt Church Radio who will be at Tudawera. And will be enjoying themselves and will be challenging themselves, and we look forward to starting you off and welcoming you home. So, you know, and like Kerry said, it's the whole thing. You know, try to take that step back, try to ease that time goal. You know, you don't need to be down to the second. And what will be.
Oh, most of all, enjoy it.
Mm.
Just do it. It's so fun. Sometimes it's type B fun, but yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you, bro. And thank you all very much for tuning in. We're on social media at Dirt Church Radio. You can email us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. Now, don't forget to sign up to the new podcast and newsletter, dirtchurchradio.substack.com.
Don't forget to write in too with your greatest run ever. We'd love to hear from you. Have a read of them on the website and then think of your own one. And then the next thing you do is actually write it down and send it in. dirtchurchradio@gmail.com.
Thanks to our sponsors, Scott Running, For the Faster, Currens, Cielli, Wild Things, and our Substack subscribers. Stay tuned for our show in 2 weeks when we have another great guest lined up, and check out our DCR Aid Station podcast next week.
Hey, Cornay. Hey, Cornay. Thanks, Rigby.